hear we're going to hear Air Cascadia with Cutting Edge News, Views, Interviews, and Just Plain Horse Sense with Chris Andre at 10:15. Then Locus Focus with guest host Roberta Hall is going to hear. We're going to hear excerpts from a talk about the Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan by Charles Johnson of Physicians for Social Responsibility. And at 11, we'll hear Health Watch with David Naiman. They're going to be talking about a news report called the Cornucopia Institute from the Cornucopia Institute. And at 11:30 on the Monday Morning Radio Zine, Maria Armudian of the Scholar Circle asks, what is the truth about lying? Is deception intrinsically evil, or can lying be useful or even good? KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Portland Renters Assembly, happening Tuesday the 21st from 5:30 to 7:45 p.m. at the Central Library in downtown Portland, and Sunday the 26th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the North Portland Library. The Portland Renters Assembly is a gathering of people united by the burden of rent and committed to housing as a human right. There'll be a chance for individuals to tell their stories about skyrocketing rents, no-cause evictions, dubious fees, and other kinds of exploitation carried out in the name of rent. There'll be childcare, snacks, and a chance to get connected to resources for moving forward together. For more information about the Portland Renters Assembly, go to kboo.fm and click on the right side for community events.
Cascadia. Today is Monday, April 13th, 2015, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Harvey Wasserman of Solartopia. We are delighted to welcome him back to the show and look forward to his words. An interesting piece that came out, The Basic Conditions of Life. Randy Hayes, who, as many listeners know, is the founder of the Rainforest Action Network, has come up with 9 great planetary boundaries, the basic conditions for life. As we probably have learned by now, and we certainly ought to have, nuclear energy is not one of those basic conditions for life. So expensive, so deadly, so unnecessary. And especially given the fact that off of there's a very remote part of Vancouver Island on the west coast, Ucluelet, is probably accessible by road now. So many, many different islands and inlets, exquisitely beautiful from the air. The fact that radioisotopes have turned up there at extraordinary levels is really the last word and all that one needs to know about our terrible mistake. And whether is it too late or not, I guess we're going to find that out. I want to welcome Harvey Wasserman of Solartopia right now. Thank you so much for being with us today. We're delighted to have you back.
Well, I'm honored, as always. It's great to talk with you.
Well, so I received this terrific message, this email from you, and you quote Randy Hayes' words of the Rainforest Network. We just introduced him as well, the founder of the Rainforest Action Network, and the basic conditions for life. Right now, we have some nuclear energy facilities still pooping along. They are very old. In deep inside the cores of these things, it's way too hot for anybody to get in and seriously inspect what's going on, even if anyone displayed the remotest interest in doing so. Could you bring us up to date on that? We will want to talk also, I really was fascinated with the 9 great planetary boundaries. But let's talk right now about America's nukes and why we are really reaching a very critical point.
Well, what's happened, Chris, we're down to 99, which is way too many, but we you know, certainly less than the 1,000 Richard Nixon said we were going to have.
Only takes one.
That's right, unfortunately. It only takes one. And we're down to 3 on the West Coast, one in the state of Washington and then the 2 at Diablo Canyon, California. The problem, the biggest problem we face now is that the reactors are getting much older. And they are essentially assuming jalopy status. They're just really falling apart. They're not being well cared for. And, of course, we have to remember that the owners of these reactors are not responsible for, you know, the damage done by a major catastrophe. So they have no financial incentive to keep these plants up. Dangerous is their word to begin with. They're getting even more dangerous with each passing day. I'm in Ohio, and we're fighting the Davis-Besse reactor here, which is just absolutely held together with baling wire and duct tape.
And how old is that one?
It's getting towards 40. And, you know, how many people out there are driving a 1970s automobile? Most of these reactors were designed in the 1960s. And some of them have just been beat up and torn apart. And like you say, they're barely hanging together, but the companies that own them have no financial liability for a disaster, but they make money, you know, day to day by gouging the public. So a very, very serious problem. And as these reactors age, they fall apart even more. We have embrittlement problems, for example, where the constant heat and radioactivity from the operation of the reactors degrade the metal that's so critical to containing these things. The steam pipes get leaks, as happened at San Onofre in California, which gratefully those 2 reactors we shut. It just goes on and on. And meanwhile, I mean, the good news is that renewable energy has just absolutely blasted ahead, ahead of schedule, under budget. Most of the renewable projects that come in go that way, and the technology has just really exploded. But you know, we have to have the technology and renewables explode before the next reactor explodes, and that's the race that we're in now.
Well, climate talks are coming up April 14th in Canada. On the weekend, over 25,000 people marched in Quebec City to ask the Canadian premiers to act as ASAP. That means no new tar sands pipeline, no Keystone, no Energy East, no Kinder Morgan, no Northern Gateway. This is good. This is a very good thing. But it does is prompt legislators and corporations, basically the same thing these days, to promote nuclear energy as somehow clean. No one in this country ever thinks far enough into the future to consider waste problems. So when we talk about climate change and when we talk about fossil fuels, so how do you encourage people to include the problems of nuclear energy in that package in order to keep people on point? We can't forget that terrible as fossil fuels are, it's a long-term slow catastrophe, and nuclear energy is has a high potential for becoming and what exactly would we do if one of these things, how are they insured? How do you insure one of these things? Does the insurance just roll over year to year as they get older without any, I mean, whatever they had in the out, at the outset, at the get-go, that's got to be obsolete. It couldn't possibly, as these things decay, still be appropriate.
Well, in 1957, Chris, the Atomic Energy Act, the initial Atomic Energy Act was in 1954, 1957, the Congress exempted nuclear power plants from liability. They set up a fund at the time, it was $540 million. Now it's around $12.5 billion that would be covered, that would meant to cover all nuclear disasters. As we know, it's a ridiculous drop in the bucket. And since then, nothing's happened. They continually extended this liability limitation because anybody who owns a nuclear plant, if they were really forced to face the liability, they would all shut down immediately. And so the exemption is still in place. The taxpayer, the ratepayer is on the hook. And, you know, God forbid there be another accident in this country. The owners of the reactors essentially would walk away. And the public would be stuck with the huge costs. So there's been no improvement, no positive change, no advance in terms of liability for those who operate these reactors, and as a result, they have no incentive really to, expend their huge profits on protecting the public. There's really no reason for them to do it. So that's what we face. And as the reactors get older, they get even more dangerous than they originally were. And we're just, you know, trembling day to day on the fate of these reactors. We have, you know, two at Diablo Canyon in California that are surrounded by earthquake faults. We have the one up, in your region in the Northwest, an ancient, dangerous reactor that nobody talks about, the Columbia Generating Station there. And all over the country, all over the world, really, these reactors are just becoming more and more problematic. I'm actually going to Quebec City on Wednesday for there's a World Uranium Conference to talk about why we need to leave that stuff in the ground. And, you know, my message will be that Solartopia is coming, that we are going to have a green-powered Earth, and the faster we make this conversion, the less pressure there will be to dig uranium out of the ground, which really should stay right where it is. And hopefully, you know, we'll win the race between converting the renewables to Solartopia and the next meltdown, which is inevitable.
Howie, I want to thank you so much for bringing us that, especially in the light of the radioisotopes showing up in Ucluelet Sound. That is a complete, absolute disaster ecologically and in every possible way that one might think of. So I want to thank you. I want to ask you to let people know about Solartopia briefly, where they can find out more and read up on all of the work that you've been doing. Because if we don't stay ahead of this, we definitely will be crushed by it.
I have a website called nukefree.org, nukefree.org, and I post a lot of current stuff there, and you can also go to harveywasserman.com or solartopia.org. But nukefree.org is what I post the current events on. People might like that. And thank you for having me on, Chris.
Nukefree.org, that's it. That's where to go. And we will post a link to that on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/IrkesKD. You'll find it all there. Plus, Randy Hayes, the nine boundaries, the nine basic conditions for life, it's very cogent, very concise, and it comes from in unusual different angles that one might not have seen coming. So highly commend attention to that. There was this climate march up in Canada. First Nations participated en masse. Of the 25,000, a great many were First Nations. at least 16 tribes were there. They'll be impacted by the Energy East pipeline if the project is carried through. Six Greenpeace activists rappelled down from this massive, dangerous oil rig in the Pacific Ocean. They actually got on board the Shell drilling platform that's making its way to the Arctic right now. They got up on that thing in terrible weather, huge crashing waves, massive swells. Spent 6 days living on the structure, protesting against the drilling in the Arctic. They climbed aboard the Polar Pioneer. It's leased by Royal Dutch Shell. It is an absolute exact identical twin to the one that was pretty much destroyed by along its way up to the Arctic just a year ago. Worsening weather conditions in this case brought high swells. They had to leave the rig on Saturday. How they got off the thing is incredible. You could see video of it on the website. And Oregonians are not pleased with Cascade Lock's plan to sell water to Nestle. The towns in the Columbia River Gorge, the Swiss company Nestle, bottling water. There is a lot more. Get up there, protest, talk to people. Now is the time to do it. Don't forget that there is a rally coming up for $15 an hour at 12 noon. That's on April 15th, O'Brien Square. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, April 13th, 2015. Kate Welch engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
We are Trayvon.
KBOO is proud to support the African American Alliance in collaboration with the YWCA of Greater Portland in coordinating a community unity event featuring special guests, Mrs. Sabrina Fulton, mother of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin, who was attacked and murdered in 2012. Mrs. Fulton will share her powerful inspirational message on empowering our youth. The program will be held on Monday, April 13th from 6:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Maranatha Church. Please plan to arrive by 6:15 since seating is limited. This program